Absolutely. It's been an incredible week at this stage, but just, you mean, for Paralympics, obviously, London 2012 kind of was the start of a new era, and it was exciting and for it to go well, but the atmosphere, and then to come back now 5 years later, and to be back in that stadium and things go well again, just it's been an incredible week. And you know, it's now as time goes on that you actually get to enjoy it a little bit more as it sinks in.
It's very difficult to win world titles, and it's probably as difficult to retain those titles.
Definitely. You know, they always say, you know, winning it the first time, not that it's ever easy, but it's easier, but it's coming back and doing it again. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough to be in the sport since 2012, and I'm able to keep coming back. And, you know, as time goes on, I suppose it's mentally the challenge of keeping focused and keeping pushing yourself to be at that level and continue to achieve. But, you know, I've been very grateful things have gone very well.
Yes, it's, you know, when you go out to train, it's hard to keep the pressure on all the time, but you have to at that world stage, because I'm sure there are people coming along saying, well, I'm going to take Jason Smith's title.
Absolutely, and I mean, that's the thing, you know, everybody sees the 10 seconds on TV that comes around every year, or, you know, Paralympic Games every 4 years. But the reality is the work's done before then. You know, there's that mental aspect of there on the championships, but often medals are won a long time before that. And, you know, it's the amount of work that has to go in that's, you know, it's incredible. I know I roughly added it up over a four-year Paralympic cycle. You know, you put in like 5,000 hours of training to run and win a 10-second race. So, I mean, it's incredible work that has to go in, incredible focus. And but, you know, at the same time, you know, it's worth every moment when you get to those huge moments. I mean, who gets the opportunity to compete for their country, to be standing in stadiums in front of thousands of people? You know, that kick of adrenaline and standing up and hearing the national anthem on the podium. You know, people don't get those opportunities, and it's worth every minute of it.
Maybe, Jason, you had outlined some of the, I suppose, things that you have done to get to the level that you're at, like going to America and so on, and some of the maybe sacrifices that you have to make as well.
Yeah, to be at sport at that level, you know, you've got to be willing to sacrifice everything. You know, it's that simple. You've got to be so disciplined and so selfish in what you want to achieve. And, you know, I spent 4 years out in the States. You know, Stephen Maguire, who coached me at the time, you know, our thought was, you know, if you want to be the best, you've got to learn from the best. And that's why we made that move. And obviously you look at that, and for me, you're leaving everything behind to focus on training 24/7, you know, 7 days a week. But, you know, it's your lifestyle. It's a choice you've got to make in life. You know, it's what you eat impacts your training, how well you sleep, the routine in your life. So everything you do on a day-to-day basis affects your training, which then affects your competition. So, you know, it's a huge amount of work. But as I say, you know, it's incredible moments that come at the end of it, you know, and I've been very grateful for that.
And because you have reached the heights that you have reached, you know, you get some support, I presume, Sport Ireland, for example, giving you a grant?
Yeah, you know, as I'm fortunate enough to be a medalist, you're funded through Sport Ireland, and then being in the north too, there's Sport Northern Ireland gives support and services. So, you know, we're very fortunate that we have that support. But, you know, the flip side of it is people look at sport and think this glamorous lifestyle, lots of money, flashy. And yes, it is for football. And, you know, you look at the top golfers or the Usain Bolts, and that's the case. But, you know, for 99% of us, it's not that. You know, it's living day to day, week to week, like everybody else does. And you know, something that I've put a bit of focus on and now starting to look at is how, you know, I start transitioning from sport into to what I want to do after sport, because the reality is, you know, this is a short window and a short career.
Yeah, you've been looking at that, obviously, Jason, and you've come up with, a path at this stage, and we understand you're going to start work, is it tomorrow?
Yeah, believe it or not, no rest for the wicked, but, you know, obviously, I said I spent a number of years away. I moved home to back in Ireland last year, and, you know, part of wanting to move home was also starting to look at life after sport. And for me, I feel most of my opportunities are within the island of Ireland. So with the major championships being done so early this year, I thought, you know, it's a great chance to spend the rest of the summer just trying to get a bit of work experience. And for me, you know, I kind of sat down, had a think on what I would be interested in doing. I looked into, you know, I'm interested in the financial world. So, you know, as I said, I thought it was a great opportunity. Doing 2-3 week blocks of work experience, one in one of the head offices of the bank, and then another one down in kind of wealth management and stockbroking. So for me, I thought it was a great opportunity to just start looking at it and start to, you know, as a sport, you give everything to sport or in sport, and you're a little bit unaware of everything else around. And, you know, I think now while I'm at the top, I've got to spend the next number of years starting to really home in on that path and transfer from sport into real, and well, not the real world, but you know what I'm saying. The thing is with sport, what I've learned is to be successful at that level, you learn a lot of them attributes and characteristics to be successful in anything, but it's how you learn to transfer them into whatever you want to do. So yeah, it's exciting. I'll probably not be thinking that tomorrow morning, but
will you be nervous going to work? Some would say maybe for the first time.
No, not really. I think when you've been able to stand in stadiums and perform under the pressure of expecting to win, I'm not too concerned about going in to do some work experience.
You're, a married man now with a daughter. I suppose that changes the complexion of the situation to some degree.
Absolutely. You know, you spend so many years in life thinking about yourself and what's best for you. But obviously that changes, you know, priority and life changing. And, you know, most people experience that at some point. That ability to I suppose you're constantly having to look and look at how you provide for your family and give them the best support. And, you know, that brings its challenges within sport. But, you know, for me, I look at the positive side of it is, you know, how incredible it is to be in them big moments like London last week and have my family there. You know, Evie, my daughter, was, you know, just, I know she's only a year and three quarters, but loving it and loving the excitement of it. But for me, it makes it a little bit more meaningful, more personal, that they're there and able to celebrate it and share it with me. So, you know, I think it's, you know, it's really great.
Yeah, there are those who would say she stole the show. You know, big smile.
Like
on.
Yeah, that red hair.
The red hair stands out, all right, one would have to say. You could say that, yeah, that's an Irish girl.
Yeah, no, it, as I say, she absolutely loved it. So, yeah, we can't complain.
Will you be able to combine this new adventure with your training?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously this next number of weeks is, you know, naturally you take a bit of time off. And so, you know, I'm going to take the next number of weeks off and then slowly start building up again. And to be honest, I've kind of worked up by the time I'm getting back to normal training, I will not be doing work experience anyway. And, you know, it's very hard to marry them both together. And that's where I thought this is a great opportunity to get a bit of work experience and start to get a little bit clear on what I want to do. But, you know, the reality is if I want to keep pushing to improve, you know, my focus still has to stay in sport. It's got to stay in training. But at the same time, I can spend a bit of time around the sides, just positioning myself better for life after.
What is your next goal on the athletic track?
Short term, we've got major championships every year. So next year, we're looking at European championships. there in Berlin. So obviously would be to go and defend my titles in the 100 and 200. A bit longer, well, the following year, then we've got World Championships again, and then back into to Paralympic Games in 2020. So thoughts very much from Rio fall into naturally into a four-year cycle, which is into Tokyo. So my thoughts are very much, you know, for this next number of years. And for me, my period between London and Rio had a few injuries, didn't really kick on to the level I would like to. And I feel now if I can be consistent and continue to remain injury-free, that, you know, the next few years I could kick on a bit. And to be honest, at that stage I'll be 33, so you know, it'll not be till I'm at Tokyo and till I really make a decision on where I go beyond then and how many years are left or not. But I mean, my focus is just very much in this 4 year cycle, which is now only three left.
And can I ask you, you're suffering from Stargardt's disease. Maybe just tell the public out there what exactly that is.
Yeah, so Stargardt is an eye condition that I was diagnosed with when I was about 7 years old. It's a genetic eye condition that my granddad had and was passed down to me. So pretty much you have the central vision, for me, is blind. So nearly like a ring around in the middle of where I see would be completely blind. Therefore, I use the outside of my eye to see. But the bit that is blind, the central vision, is what gives you the detail, what gives you the distance. So therefore, for me, I can see things around, but it's very, very blurry. So there's no detail. And I usually see things because of different colours, so a colour contrast rather than any detail. So, it's nearly like when somebody takes a picture, that it's very blurry and out of focus, so you can't see detail, but you can see blurriness all around.
And do you expect that problem might affect your, you know, your work experience now and work in the future?
I don't think so. You know, does it impact things? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's obviously jobs that I'm never going to be able to do. Like, obviously I can't drive. I'm not going to be a fireman. But, you know, within what I can do, a bit like training, you know, there's other ways to do the same thing. You know, there's not one way to do everything. So and to be honest, nowadays with the way technology is advancing too, I've even come across of number of different things that are starting to find ways to use technology to, you know, help people see that don't see as well better. So I'm not concerned. You know, as I say, I feel like I've proved over and over again that you know, you can do and achieve things regardless of the situation, regardless of the challenges. You know, it's just about believing in it and working hard towards it.